So welcome to the special report on learning. A learning technique I'm going to share with you here is something that I've used all my adult life that has made things very easy, or relatively easy, for me to learn. And I often get comments from people say things like, well, you know, how do you learn so much? How do you know so much? I get this in conversations, and people are surprised that I can talk to them about almost any subject, including, you know, the sciences or anything from anthropology to physics or chemistry or astronomy or philosophy or whatever. And they're like, how do you learn all this stuff? So I'm going to share my best secrets with you here today. And the first one is so easy that it takes zero effort, but it's critically important. And I call it passive immersion. And passive immersion takes advantage of the fact that your brain is automatically creating new connections as it is exposed to external stimuli. And it takes no effort whatsoever. Now, let me give you a very practical sense of this. Let's suppose that you want to learn a new language. Or this could be applied to a new subject. Maybe you want to learn how to run mass spec instruments in a lab like the lab that I have, or maybe you want to learn how to do vibe coding, or maybe you want to learn another language. And especially when it comes to languages that are very, very different from your own native language, which I'll just assume is English, the more different the language you want to learn, the more alien it sounds to your brain. So if you're trying to hear Russian or Chinese or Korean or Japanese or whatever, it's very foreign to your brain. Whereas languages that are similar, like let's say Spanish or even Italian or French or whatever, those would be closer to English, right? And you could actually hear those more easily. Many people find Spanish relatively easy to learn if you already know English. But Chinese would be much more difficult for people to learn. Well, why is that? It's because your brain can't hear it. Your brain can't hear it. Now, understand what I'm saying. You can't even hear foreign sounds and different pronunciations and different words. If I were to play a selection of Russian for you right now, for example, and if you don't speak Russian, you wouldn't even know where the words begin and end. And that's the way it was for me when I first moved to Taiwan. I was hearing Chinese. I had no idea where the words began and where the words ended. And the number one secret to this is the very first step for you to learn anything new is to immerse yourself passively in the hearing of it. And I'm not talking about listening, okay? So this is one of those times where I say, don't listen. Unlike your teacher that said, listen, are you listening? You know, or your mother, you're not listening. This time, I want you to not listen. I only want you to be exposed to the new information, to the new sounds. So let's say if you want to learn Russian, which is an increasingly useful language these days. Well, so is Chinese. Let's say you want to learn Chinese. First thing you should do is get a lot of Chinese language material. It could be Chinese podcasts, you know? You could get Chinese videos free on YouTube or whatever. Or get a bunch of audiobooks in Chinese. And again, you can find free sources for all this. There are all kinds of free resources. You can download like children's books in Chinese for teaching children to speak Chinese. That's great. Actually, starting with children's books is actually a great idea when you're learning a new language. So what I want you to do then, step number one, is just have the sounds of the Chinese language playing in your environment for a few weeks. That's it. I don't want you to worry about trying to understand any of it. You don't need to listen. Remember, this is called passive immersion. And when you engage in passive immersion, oh, and if you were doing this to learn a new vocabulary for a new skill, let's say you wanted to become a physicist, I would encourage you to play physics podcasts and physics lessons. You know, you can go to MIT's website, you can download all their free, or you can watch pretty much the entire coursework of MIT. You can watch it all for free. I've done a fair amount of that myself. And so again, this isn't going to cost you anything. But if you want to learn physics, you just play a bunch of physics videos or audiobooks or whatever, like high-level physics, and you don't even pay attention to it. You don't even listen, okay? All you're trying to do is, frankly, you're trying to provoke your brain to start tokenizing the language. And I'm using an AI term there. It means your brain neurons are going to start shifting in order to understand these new sounds and these new combinations that your brain has never really heard before in that sequence. So understand that when you speak and when you hear English, the reason you understand it is because your brain has already formed all these relationships between words and sounds and, you know, pronunciation, whatever. And you also learned that passively as a child. It didn't take any effort. You just picked it up automatically and you started speaking at some point, right? That's passive immersion. Your brain organizes information. Why? Because inside your skull is a neural network. And if you know anything about my philosophy on neural networks, you know that all intelligence is natural intelligence. That if you connect enough nodes, whether in silicon or biology, or even in fungi, or even crystalline molecules, then you get the emergence of intelligence. It is a natural phenomenon. It's part of the natural construct of the cosmos. You don't have to expend any effort whatsoever for your brain to begin to categorize and understand a foreign language. Now, and I'm serious about that. Now, when we're children, the way we learn is because we're hearing all these words in context. So when someone is speaking to us in English, let's say, and you're a two-year-old, you're also seeing the person's expression, you're seeing the person's actions, etc. And you're probably paying attention, you know, because you're, as a child, you know, you're curious about the world, everything. So hearing the words alone by itself is not enough to understand the language. That's step two, which we'll get to. But step one, again, spend a few weeks. I mean weeks. You should have, if you want to learn Chinese, you should have Chinese podcasts, Chinese, you know, TV, if you want, Chinese news programs, Chinese everything all around you for several weeks, and you don't need to understand any of it. Don't even try to understand it. Just hear it. Not listening, but hearing. And then what's going to happen is your brain will reorganize itself over time. And your brain reorganizes when you're sleeping. Did you know that? That's when you're learning, is when you sleep. During the day, you have all this exposure to all these external stimuli. But when you're sleeping, that's when your brain is making new connections between the neurons. That's when it's actually tokenizing language or tokenizing new words in any subject that you want to learn. So for example, when I wanted to learn how to run a mass spec laboratory, and I had never done that before in my life, and I never studied that in a university. I didn't have a PhD. I didn't even have a degree in chemistry. So what did I do? Well, I signed up for a five-day course on mass spectrometry that I attended in person. A five-day course with a big textbook, and it was filled with conversations I did not even understand at all. But I listened. In that case, I actually listened. I did try to understand it because it's in English. So I listened a lot, and I just heard a lot of words, and then I would get a good night's sleep, and I would eat well. You know, nutrition is part of this. You got to have healthy fats and healthy oils so that your brain can make new connections. Yeah, nutrition plays a role here. And you don't want to have any brain-busting substances in your diet, right? Like cheap seed oils and crap like that. You don't want to try to learn something living on margarine. You know, that's not going to fly. Or, you know, rapeseed oil, also known as canola oil in your salad dressing. No, no, no. You got to have healthy avocados and coconut oil and real olive oil, not the counterfeit stuff at the grocery store. Anyway, so I went to this course for 5 days. And frankly, by Friday, because it was like a Monday through Friday course, by Friday, I was asking intelligent questions. Whereas on Tuesday, I was asking really stupid questions. But by Friday, I was asking intelligent questions. And then, fast forward maybe a year later, I was teaching PhDs how to design methods for quantitation of glyphosate in the laboratory. They would literally come to my lab to find out how we did it. And it's all because of rapid learning. So step one is immersion. And then step two is understanding and then dialogue. So in step two, after you've spent a lot of time, well, actually, let me back up. How do you know you're done with step one? It's very simple. When you can hear the words, okay? When you can hear the words, okay? So when you can hear the words, then you're ready for step two. So let's give an example. If I say in Chinese, I'll just say a sentence, a random sentence, and see if you understand even where the words begin and end. If I said, 为什么你们要买他的脚踏车? And you're like, what? What? Like, what words were, how many words were there? When did they start? When did they stop? I have no clue, right? That's the way I was when I first heard Chinese. And that sentence, by the way, said, why do they want to sell that person's bicycle? I don't know. Because they need the money. I don't know. But when you, again, when you first hear a language, right, you don't know where the words are. But after a while, you will start to hear the words. You'll start to know, oh, wait a second. Like, I am perceiving where the words start and stop. And you can do this automatically, even in Russian or Farsi or Japanese or Chinese or a very difficult language. You will begin to know where the words start and stop. Once you're able to do that automatically, and you don't even know what the words mean, and that's fine. You don't need to know what they mean yet, but you need to be able to hear them. At that point, then you can start with understanding and dialogue. You can start to mimic, and that's what children do. They mimic. So step two is mimicry. And in mimicry, it's just like learning to walk as a child. You know, you've seen all these adults walking around. You're like, I want to walk too. So you get on your feet, and then you fall flat on your face. Fortunately, when you're an infant, you're very short and bouncy. So you just bounce off the floor and rub your nose, and you're okay. So mimicry is also completely normal. And this is when you are trying to now invoke language from your own brain. And this, it causes a deepening of the tokenization of the concepts. So when you can listen to someone, that's one level of understanding. But when you can speak, well, that's the next level of competency in any language or any area of expertise. And it starts with mimicry. So with mimicry, you start to hear certain words and concepts, little phrases, like in Chinese, 我给你看, it means I want to show you something. 我给你看. And you start to hear that over and over again. Or in conversations, you hear 都可以. 都可以 means either way. And so you're listening to conversations of people in Chinese, let's say, and you keep hearing a 都可以 over and over again. So you start to pick it up, and then you start to work it into your own language. So if somebody asks you, you know, let's say in China or in Taiwan, wherever you are, Hong Kong, well, they're probably speaking Cantonese in Hong Kong, but they're asking you a question like, do you want to eat fried rice? Or do you want to have a papaya milkshake from a street vendor? And you're like, dokai, you know, I can do it either way. They're both good. It actually means both. I can both, or both I can. That's what that means. Dokai. All right. So that's mimicry. And in any area of expertise, you start to use the vocabulary. You know, if you're studying biomimicry, you're going to start using words like biomimicry. Or if you're studying botany, you're going to start using a lot more words like photosynthesis or phytochemistry or phytocognosy or whatever, right? So you start to use the words and you start to incorporate those. And it's okay to engage in mimicry at first, even if you don't fully understand what they mean. You're really just trying to initiate your brain. You're training your brain. That's all. And then at this point, it's a good idea to start. Actually, you could do structured study. Now that you can hear the words or you can hear the vocabulary and you're starting to mimic it, now you can start to study. Notice I didn't say study from day one. It's kind of pointless, actually. You need to train your brain first through the passive immersion. But at this point, once you've got you're able to hear it, now you can start to do structured study. And with structured study, you know, you're learning more about the words, you're learning about the grammar, or you're learning about the subject matter that you're interested in. And that will take you to phase three, which is competency. And in competency, it means you can carry on a conversation with somebody who is in that field or in that language. And it may be a simple conversation, which is the way I started learning Chinese when I was talking to taxi cab drivers in Taiwan. And I would learn very simple things, like giving them instructions of how to take me back to my apartment. It was like, okay, you go to the second street light, and then you're going to turn right, and then you're going to go down that street, and then my apartment's on the left, right? And that's it took me a while to figure out how to say that. Or ordering food from, you know, a restaurant. Like, how do you order food? You know, there's McDonald's in Taiwan, but the menu's not English. Okay, well, maybe some of them are, but most restaurants aren't that way. So, you know, you walk in and you're like, so how do I order food? How do I eat here? How do I talk about money? How do I do anything? So you cover the basics first. And that's true whether you're learning a new subject or you're living in a new country, you're learning a new language. Oh, I forgot. Let me back up because there's something else I forgot to demonstrate for you, that in many areas of knowledge, and especially in different languages, there are sounds that you are not used to hearing. So, for example, in Chinese language, you know, obviously they don't follow the Western alphabet, so they have completely different sounds. And one of those sounds that Americans get wrong all the time sounds like this, yu. And the way my mouth is shaped when I'm making that sound is that my lips are pursed, but the tongue is in a special place, and you're saying yu. I know it's an odd sound. And again, if you've never heard Chinese, you can't even hear it. You don't even know what you're hearing. Like, your brain can't even make sense of it. But it's a sound that's used in a lot of words, like, you know, green tea, 绿茶, you know, or traffic light, you know, 红绿灯, red, green light is what that means. But these sounds are so alien to the Western brain, you can't even hear them. You don't even know what you're hearing. And this is why so many people, when they first learn a foreign language, they speak with such a very strong accent. And an accent is the accent of their native language, because what they're trying to do is they are trying to translate what they're hearing into the words that they know. And this is natural. We all do this. We try to translate what we're hearing into sounds and words that we already know in our own native language. And that's why a lot of Americans going to China, you know, their pronunciation sounds very bad to Chinese. It sounds very sloppy. It sounds very Americanized. But the person who masters a language more effectively will begin to hear and speak using the sounds of the target language, sounds that do not match English. And of course, a simple example of this in Spanish versus English is where in English, we don't have the rrr sound, right? But in Espanol, it's very, very common for rrr. Even a simple word for thank you, like gracias, you know, I'm emphasizing it there, but you get the idea. Gracias, gracias. That is a sound that many Americans have trouble making. And, you know, hombre or sombrero, you know, like in any kind of the R sounds, the rolling R sounds, a lot of Americans have difficulty with that. And by the way, Chinese have crazy difficulty with that because there is no such sound in Asian languages. And Japanese get really confused by Spanish rolling R's because of the way that Japanese grow up learning to use their mouths and their tongues. A lot of Japanese pronunciation is very far forward in the mouth, whereas the R sound, R, is very far back in the back of the mouth where your tongue is working in the back. Japanese is mostly all in the front. I don't know if you ever noticed that. And Chinese is a combination of front and back. Like in mainland China, the way they say yes is the word is pronounced sure, sure. Okay, now that's the way you're hearing it, as if you're an American, it may sound like I'm saying the word sure, like S-U-R-E, sure. But I'm actually not. I'm not saying sure, I'm saying sure, which is yes with a R in the back. Okay, they do that in mainland China. Whereas in Taiwan, they pronounce it si, si. They don't put in the R. So a lot of regional differences there. But my point is, you need to be able to hear the non-English sounds. That's why I'm fascinated by hearing Russian. I love to hear Russian because it's such a rich tapestry of new sounds that are very intriguing to me. And I wish I knew how to speak some Russian, but I don't. Obviously, every time I try to pronounce a Russian city or town, it's like, nope, that's not it. I know, I'm doing my best, but I love the Russian sounds. If I were to learn another language, I would definitely learn Russian next, but I don't have the time. One more example. In Chinese, there's a word that sounds exactly like this. Yuing, yuing. You're like, what? Is that a word? Is that a sound effect? Is that like did a mosquito buzz me? No, yuing, that's a Chinese word, okay? And there are a lot of words like that. And again, when Americans hear Chinese people speak, they literally do not hear the words. They cannot hear them. Their brains cannot hear them. Just flat out can't hear them. It's like, have you ever heard the story that when, I guess a story is said about Christopher Columbus and his ships when they sailed to the Americas and they were seen from the shores by the Native Americans, that the Native Americans didn't understand that they were ships because they had never seen ships on the horizon, and they called them something else. They couldn't comprehend that there were things that could sail on the water, I suppose. At least this is a story we've been told. But we all work that way. Nothing against Native Americans. We all work that way. You can't hear what your brain hasn't tokenized, and you can't see what your brain hasn't tokenized. So the number one secret to learning is to expand your neurology and start exposing your brain to lots and lots of different things. Different languages, different sounds, different images, different ideas. From there, everything else will become easier, which brings me to step four. So step three is competency. And competency can take a lifetime to be able to speak a language or talk in the vocabulary of a new area of expertise, etc. That can take a long, long time. But eventually, you can get to step four, which is mastery. And, you know, again, many years to get to mastery, probably 5,000 to 10,000 hours on average to get to a point of mastery. But you can master a new language. You can, if you want to dedicate the time to it. Your brain will respond. You can master a new topic. You can master a new skill. You can master anything that you set your mind to. But this is how I do it, what I just described, okay? So the four steps are, number one, passive immersion. And this is the big secret that most people miss. They immediately move into studying. They move into a structured study, and it doesn't work because they don't have the ability to hear or see the subject that they're studying. Okay? So start with immersion, passive immersion. Spend a few weeks. And then only after that, move into mimicry with structured study, and then you will make your way to competency. And then ultimately, perhaps, if you want to put in the hours, mastery. So that's how I learn lots of things very quickly. Now, for me, there are very few subjects that I would consider myself to have mastered. Mastery is something that's very selective. You have to choose where you want to spend your life. Are you going to get good at this thing or this other thing? You know, pick five things, right? You can't master everything, but you can become competent in all kinds of things. Competency maybe only takes 1% of the time of mastery. So competency, you can become competent in a lot of languages and a lot of subjects and a lot of concepts in a relatively small amount of time compared to what it takes to master these things. And that's the way I actually operate in the world. That's why I can talk to almost anybody about almost any subject, not because I've mastered that subject, but because I have competency in that subject. And I have competency in hundreds of different subjects, and it's not actually that difficult to achieve. And finally, given today's AI tools, you can learn anything almost for free by simply asking the AI engine, whatever engine you want to use, to give you coursework or to give you lessons or to give you a lesson plan or write out a chapter for you. You can use our AI engine to do that if you want. And our AI engine at brighteon.ai is trained on health and nutrition and, you know, alternative medicine and phytochemistry. and many, many subjects, also finance and history and things like that, and some philosophy, a lot of mental health is in there as well. So you can learn anything, even from our model. Okay, and one more final thought is I want you to understand that learning never has to be difficult. A lot of us have had bad experiences. Well, I didn't really have bad experiences, but maybe you did in school, you know, grade school, whatever. I mean, it was bad for me just because I was bored out of my freaking mind. I mean, everything's moving too slow. So that, yeah, it's kind of bad, but I brought stuff to work on and to read and do myself in the middle of class. I sometimes got in trouble for that. What are you doing? Writing computer code with a pencil and paper. What is that? You know, my teachers were like, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing? What is that? They'd pick it up and read it. And I was literally writing computer code so I could go home and key it in to my Apple II computer and then run it and debug it in the evening. But I would write computer code in class and it drove my teachers bonkers. And then they would try to surprise me, like ask me a question from the book that we're supposed to be reading. And of course, I'd already read it, you know, so I'd answer the question and I'd just go back to writing code. So eventually they learned to just stop calling on me. So it just pretty much left me alone to do whatever I wanted to do and write code or read books or whatever, because they knew that school was just, for me, it was just wasted time. But anyway, a lot of people had bad experiences in schools, like really bad, very negative experiences surrounding learning. And they found out as a child that learning was hell. You know, learning was torture. Learning was pain. Learning was punishment. And so a lot of people, maybe some of you listening to this, you may still have that program running in your head from being a child. Well, I invite you to ditch that program. Just hit Control-Alt-Delete, reboot that system, and come back to a much more joyful place where learning is completely natural and it's very rewarding. And it's something that your brain was built to do. You can't even turn it off, and it doesn't take effort to learn through immersion. It's 100% automatic. And because you were born with a supercomputer inside your skull, it is. It's a holographic neural network, supercomputer computational system. It's really a miracle from God. It's a miracle of nature. It's something that all the modern tech companies have never been able to replicate. You've got that inside your skull. And all you have to do is learn how to rewire it, which is what I've just described, actually. And it's easier than you think. So let go of any ideas that learning is painful and just embrace passive immersion learning, because your brain does it automatically. You learn automatically. You actually can't stop learning. Your brain just does it. How cool is that? All right. Take advantage of all of our AI tools at brighteon.ai. And we have our book generator coming out pretty soon. You'll be able to generate a book on any topic completely free. And you can then use that as a learning basis to learn anything you want to learn. And eventually we'll roll out different languages for our book generator website. And you'll be able to generate books in Russian or Chinese or Espanol or whatever you want. So it's a very exciting time to be alive, that's for sure. And the only mistake that you might make is to be too slow to learn new things. If you love to learn and you learn how to learn, like I've just covered, then you're going to have a great time, actually. You're going to learn so many amazing things and you're going to have many opportunities to learn new things all the time. And so, you know, you're going to be really exercising your brain, expanding your horizons, your knowledge, and the sky's the limit, you know. There's nothing that you can't learn. And all the knowledge of the world is now available to you at your fingertips through our AI tools, completely free of charge. It's a miracle. You know, this has never existed in human history. So take advantage of it. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Manuka honey is one of the world's most nutritious superfoods. Harvested from Australia's pristine bushlands and forests, Health Ranger Select Premium Manuka Honey has guaranteed levels of MGO and NPA. Shop at healthrangerstore.com.